Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news, and get ready because the story's about to start pouring in about potential Tchouaméni bids. We'll explain why in a moment. Also, a fan favourite target for Manchester United, Sangare, is heading to the Premier League, but not Manchester United. We've also got a Rashford swap deal story to discuss. Xerxes moving ever closer to the exit door. Juventus expected to be where he's going to go as well. We've got a bit on the left-back situation and a tweet that I put out this morning that's causing quite a bit of a stir. I will read that out to you and we'll read some of the hilarious reactions to this. For example, some people think we're in a really good position now, a much better position than we were last season because we've got more options. It's scary, the shit people will swallow. But look, let's hit the headline. The headline this morning is coming in from Fabrizio Romano, and he is reporting that Manchester United are not in talks with anybody. But he is reporting that Manchester City and Real Madrid are now in direct talks for Rodri. So if Rodri goes to Real Madrid, which is now expected to happen, does this then open the magical door to Manchester United bidding and getting Tchouaméni? So get ready for all the hype. Get ready for all the stories. Yes, I completely agree. This is going on and on and on. And this afternoon will probably be linked to Lewis Hall again. But look, logically, there will be a lot of people who say, Tchouaméni to Man United now is going to happen because Rodri is going to go into Real Madrid. Look, Real Madrid are having a very ambitious summer transfer window. Not necessarily spending big amounts of money, although they are, but not every deal is big. I mean, some of their deals they've done for free transfers, etc. Rodri to Real Madrid would be a starter, and that would logically push Tchouaméni to the bench. However, Real Madrid and Jose Mourinho at this moment do not want to sell Tchouaméni, and he is happy in Madrid. So, look, we can go back to the guesses. We can go back to the broken clock that's right twice a day. But the logical conclusion here is that nothing surely will change. Well, something will change, but nothing actually has changed. And why are Manchester United... I mean, I have to follow this through for a moment. So Rodri and Real Madrid spend the next 2-3 weeks negotiating with each other. And Rodri at some point in mid-August holds up a Real Madrid shirt. We're then going to move for Tchouaméni in the final 2 weeks of the window when the season's already started. Is that the plan? Let Real Madrid and Man City do big business and then hope that you can pick up the scraps. Is that what we are now? I mean, because that's what I'm not hearing from anybody, and that's how I interpret this. So basically, our big master plan is to wait and see if Rodri goes to Man City and then hope that that means that Real Madrid sell Tchouaméni in the last couple of weeks of the window. What if they don't? What happens then? So I think this is a flawed plan by Man United. It wouldn't surprise me if that was their plan, by the way, but I think it's a flawed plan. And also, it's a very risky plan as well, because there are deals you can move on at the moment. For example, Kone. There are things that United could be doing at the moment, Alex Scott. To wait and see is a very dangerous game. And also, what factually remains on this is that, yes, Rodri could be heading to Real Madrid. And yes, people will logically say that that leads to a better chance of assigning Tchouaméni, which potentially it does. But that new contract is there. He does want to stay there. Jose Mourinho does want to keep him. He would have to put a transfer request in, or Real Madrid would have to put him on the transfer list. The price would be high, the wages would be high, and United probably wouldn't want to pay that anyway. So I retract from the excitement of this and allow all of you to get excited. And I say, I find this a bit of a waste of time. If it leads to something in the next few weeks, I believe he's a good player. But if this was the strategy all summer, is it not reminiscent of Frankie de Jong? Not word for word, but did we not do the... I mean, look, we were literally talking about another brilliant 8 o'clock show last night, but we were literally talking about this, how the Carrick summer transfer window feels very much like Mourinho's last window where he wasn't backed, or Moyes' first summer where he wasn't backed. There's always seems to be this cycle of repetition, and Carrick himself is a repetition of Ollie. It's virtually, you know, paint by numbers, the same story. Sack a Portuguese manager, bring in an interim ex-player, and then give him the job. You know, United just keep making the same mistakes. But this Tchouaméni story, if it continues that like this without us signing a third midfielder, reminds me a lot of Frankie de Jong, where you spend all summer obsessed with a dream target who doesn't actually want to come. And then at the end of the summer, you end up doing something desperate. And what we ended up doing desperately that summer was spend £130 million right at the end of the window when the season had already started and the new signings missed pre-season. I think that this, you know, at some point you do have to learn from your mistakes. And, you know, I understand sometimes it's worth taking a risk, but it's also very important that Michael Carrick has his players ready and his plan ready. And I just think that, look, maybe I would never say it's not impossible that Real Madrid sign a couple of midfielders and then try to cash in on Tchouaméni and speak to Man United and say, do you want him? And then Tchouaméni comes. Very, very expensive to do. But I just don't like the strategy of it. I don't like the fact that we're just sat there waiting and hoping. So could we bid for Tchouaméni? Yes. Do I think we will? No. If we do, when would it happen? Weeks away. And is that a good strategic plan for a transfer window that's not been very good so far? Look, I don't know. Interestingly, just to add a little bit of news this morning, because I know a lot of you will be interested in this. I see the name a lot, Mamadou Sangare. He is a Lens defensive midfielder that a lot of you in the chat really, really do like. As I've said to you many, many times before, this is not a player that Manchester United have been looking at. However, multiple French reports this morning saying that Brentford are in advanced talks to sign Sangare for around 48 million euros. Now, this, to me, is hugely interesting. Hugely interesting, because 48 million euros is not actually that far off what we paid for Santos. It's more than we paid for Tielemans. It's roughly around the same price that we'll pay for Manu Kone. So as much as I joke that we're operating to an Everton budget, you could almost say we're also operating to a Brentford budget. Now, Mr. Toby says, I don't think Sangare is good enough. And maybe he's not. I mean, look, he's not a player I know loads about. He's a player that's been mentioned in this live chat by multiple of you for many, many months. But the observational... point cannot be avoided. Brentford are paying for midfielders around the same price point as we are. And also, what are the chances that he goes to Brentford and in 2 years' time they're selling him for £80 million? And a load of you are saying, well, we should have bought him. So, look, I think it's interesting in two levels. One, are we missing out on a player within our price range that could be worth double that in 2 years' time? And two, it's more evidence of the actual budget we're working to. We are not working to a Champions League budget. We are working to a mid-table team budget, because Everton are a mid-table team, Brentford are a mid-table team, and they can spend £40, £50 million on players, which is exactly the sort of market that we're operating in. So, look, when I say we're like Everton, it's not done for effect. It's not done to be sensationalist. It's done because that's factually the market that we're shopping in. We're looking to buy players between 30 and 50 million pounds, and we're looking to pay between 50 and 150 grand a week. That's a fact. None of our new signings in the last 2 years has been paid more than 150 grand a week. And most of our signings, on average, are costing around 40 to 50 million pounds. This is a Brentford budget. This is an Everton budget. That's what we're operating to. So, look, maybe Sangare will flop at Brentford. Maybe he won't. But ultimately, it's within the budget that we're working to, is one of that Brentford would work to. So, apparently, he's going to sign for Brentford. So, he was never a player for Man United. He was never a player for Manchester United anyway, but you know, it's another club making a move, certainly. So yeah, to move on, Tchouaméni, I personally find it very boring. But the Rodri story will spark, I think, just get ready. All I'm saying is get ready for the, you know, there are a lot of Man United journalists out there. They are competing with each other and they're not getting any information. So get ready for the Tchouaméni story because it will definitely happen. Cunha's on 200 grand a week. No, he's not. You're talking completely out your arse, Johnny. Stop spreading lies. Anything on Nicola Trezzoldi? I saw this story yesterday, just very, very quickly, if you missed it. The Manchester Evening News linked us to Belgian reports that Genk striker Trezzoldi is being looked at by Manchester United. Now, he's an interesting profile of player. He was at Hannover, I believe, in the Bundesliga, in the German league. Then he's gone to Belgium. He's Italian father and Argentinian mother. Moved to Germany when he was 7 and has played for Germany under 21s. Now, Run Forest says he's a good player. He actually is. He actually is a good player. Like, he is a good player. And he was very, very close to being called up for the German World Cup squad. In fact, Nagelsmann very, very nearly did call him up and said he was so close, his time will come. So he is, you know, as much as I don't want United buying multiple young players, this is not a young player that would come in and be loaned out. This is a player that would come in and compete. It very much has the fingerprints of Favel all over it. There's a long way to go on that being a deal that United are going to do. And you may have a preference to go for somebody a little bit more experienced, but he is a good player. He's a very good player. And, you know, I don't know whether it's going to develop into United making a move for him, but he's a very interesting player. And I think he is a player that in the next 3 or 4 years will be very well known in the European scene. So will United do something about it? We'll have to wait and see. It doesn't feel like it's one of those deals that we're going to do a lot about. But then again, Belgian, again, Le Mans, you know, it could be a market that we're looking at. Apparently, he's a Football Manager legend. So look, I mean, it's worth mentioning on a news show, but a lot would have to happen for that. Danny Welbeck has signed for Chelsea today. Here we go. I don't think United were ever going to go for Danny Welbeck as much as Ricky's been screaming about it for a few years. I think, would I take Danny Welbeck over nothing? Yes. Would I take Danny Welbeck over Xerxes? Yes. Would I take Danny Welbeck over Trezzoldo? No. Would I take him over Watkins? No. So, look, I'm not sitting here saying Danny Welbeck was the dream signing for Manchester United. But what I am saying, and I said it 2 days ago, is that if it's Welbeck or Xerxes, I'm taking Welbeck. But look, remember, Danny Welbeck is 49. He's not. I think he's mid-30s. We are going to play 2 games a week. Chelsea are going to play 1 game a week. So Danny Welbeck, as a bench option striker for Chelsea playing 1 game a week, I think that... I mean, look, Danny Welbeck for us last season would have been good. 1 game a week. When Sesko's injured, he can play. When he's not... When Sesko's fit, he can come off the bench. So I think Danny Welbeck, 1 game a week, works well for Chelsea. I don't think he actually would have worked that well for us, really, because we've got a lot of games to play next season, don't we? We do. We really do. Let me talk to you about Xerxes. So, look, I'm excited about this. I think United do need to move players on. And I think that we've got to look at how things are going to develop. Just very, very quickly, this has just come in as well, just on younger players. Man United, this has come in from Chris Wheeler in the Daily Mail. Manchester United, what are your thoughts on this? Man United are open to loaning out the majority of the under 21 players who featured in the opening pre-season friendlies against Wrexham and Rosenborg. However, the club are keen to keep a select group, including Lacey, Gabriel, Fletcher. With the Fletchers, I don't get it. I've got nothing against them. Absolutely nothing against them. Lacey, I get it. I'm excited by what Gabriel can do, as I think we all are. But the Fletcher brothers, I don't really know why we need both. They are very highly thought of, and hopefully the fact that we're going to keep them, that's going to work. But I don't really get what they're all about yet. I'm yet to be convinced, but hopefully that's, we'll find out what that's all about. But both Fletcher brothers apparently staying. Dan Gore, Collier, who else? Dan Gore, Collier, Amas, all been told they're unlikely to feature for Man United this season. Vitek and Amas, they're prepared to sell, or an option, a loan option with an option to buy. And Gore and Collier have been both been told their best hope of regular football will be with the under-21s. So neither of those two will be involved. So it looks like the Fletcher brothers and Lacey and Gabrielle are part of the plans for this season in some way, shape or form. But Amas, Vitek, Collier and Gore can all go. Nothing mentioned about Obi. I don't know what's going to happen about that. With Xerxes, as I said, it's Juventus who are apparently looking for a loan deal. I mean, I think it's absolutely shockingly shit that we have to loan Xerxes. Answers on a postcard for that one. I don't really get how a player that's been here for 2 years, who's been heavily linked to returning to Italy for the entirety of his time here. Garfield says, what about Leon? Nothing about him. I don't know why we can't sell Xerxes. I read something yesterday that Man United would need to sell Xerxes for £20 million for it not to go down as a loss. I mean, the fact that people wouldn't give us £20 million for Xerxes is quite concerning. I don't know how Xerxes' value is so low that nobody will give us £20 million for him. But that's just another indicator, is it not, of United's inability to develop players and hold their value. I mean, look, Xerxes has to take a long look in the mirror as to why his value has plummeted. But we paid £34 million for him 2 years ago, and now we can't get 20. So that's why we've got to loan him. Nobody will give us the money for it not to go down as a loss on the books, which is incredible. And look, the best thing we can do in that case then is loan him out, because if his value is less than £20 million today, there's absolutely no point keeping him tomorrow. You've got to loan him out. So, look, hopefully we can do something with Xerxes. Staying with it, and look, I'm comfortable with that. I'm past the point of wanting Xerxes to prove himself. I think he's got to go. I don't think he fits into Carrick's system anyway. I think he may have had a chance in an Amorim system, but he didn't take it. But I think in a Carrick system, he's got no chance. So I think he's got to go. There is an Italian story this morning. I read it in the Manchester Evening News. Essentially, it's talking about Roma and Kone and Manchester United and a potential swap deal with Marcus Rashford. Sometimes, this transfer window is hard enough dealing with the reality without reacting to the bullshit. I mean, how on earth does this work? Marcus Rashford's on £325,000 a week, reportedly, because he's got the Champions League 10% boost. So, Rashford's touching £350,000 a week. Roma probably don't pay that to their entire squad. I mean, they probably do, but it's probably a significant amount of their expenditure. So they'd never be able to pay his wages anyway. Also, you don't get swap deals anymore. And with total and utter respect to Roma, apart from the city of Rome and it being a beautiful city, why would Rashford want to go and play for Roma? So this has to be filed as one of the worst stories of the summer transfer window so far. We are not going to swap Rashford for Kone. I mean, I'm sure Man United would love to swap Rashford for Kone and remove his wage and remove the problem. but that's not going to be happening. In relation to, look, there was a report this morning in the iPaper, which was a total and utter load of crap. It basically said that we're in for Lewis Hall, we're interested in Lewis Hall, but no talks have taken place. I mean, I'm bored. I'm bored of the Lewis Hall story. I mean, it's been the same story for 3 months. He might want to leave Newcastle, and if he does, Man United might be interested. I mean, we may as well say that bloody Harry Kane might want to leave Bayern Munich, and if he did, Man United might be interested. I mean, at this stage of the window, these stories mean nothing. They're good stories in March when the window's not open, but they're no good to us in late July. Oh, Lewis Hall might want to leave Newcastle, and if he does, Man United might be interested, but then they probably won't be because the price will be too expensive. I don't need to hear this in late July. I really don't. It's irrelevant to me. We're either signing these players or we're not. It's not fucking February or March anymore. It's not speculation time. It's reality time. And, you know, why is Lewis Hall still at Newcastle if he wants to stay there then? Why are Man United not in talks with him if we want to sign him? It's too late in the window to be monitoring deals like this. So I've got no interest in that. Also, it mentioned Baleba and Kone as the top two targets for Manchester United. Well, that's bollocks as well. Man United are clearly stalling on something. I still think we're going to sign Kone, and I think we're waiting for the price to come down a little bit. I think we're waiting for the player to come back from holiday and push it a little bit, and that's my theory on it. But look, with regards to Baleba and Berg and any other player, we're down the list if we end up with them. They're factually way down the list. And my only fear with Man United's midfield is that they're willing to, as Ben Jacobs said last week, they're willing to wait until late in the transfer market because they think prices are going to come down. Now, this is a history lesson because we've seen how this doesn't work. I really hope we're not doing this, and I really hope we've learned from the past. If United think they're going to get a bargain late in the window, where is there any evidence of this in the last decade that you will get a bargain late in the window? I'm not aware of one. You can probably give me some examples, but most of the time, especially from a Man United point of view, we get ripped off later in the market. Antony, Casemiro, Ugarte. There are plenty of lists around that. I've heard a little bit. I'm hoping it's a load of bollocks, but I've heard a little bit that Man United think they can do cheaper deals later in the window. I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works because, for example, if I'm Fulham and the season starts and I've got Sander Berg as my starting midfielder and Man United come knocking on the door in the last week and say, we want Sander Berg, but instead of giving you 40, we're going to give you 25. Why as Fulham would I go, oh, well, you know what? You've caught us out. The season's started now. He's our starting midfielder. And yes, we will knock £15 million off his value. Why would you do that? If you're Fulham, you're sort of like, the season started, we're ready to go. Why would we give you a bargain when we've got to replace him? Are we going to get a bargain anywhere else? If anything, you try and do big deals in the last 2 weeks, you've probably got to give them 50 for Berg or 45. You've got to probably pay them more because the season has started. So I don't get where the theory that we can do cheap deals in the last couple of weeks of the window comes from, because the last couple of weeks of the window is when teams have started playing. And as we saw with Newcastle, did Newcastle sell Isak for cheap in the last 2 weeks of the window? No. Liverpool got Isak. What did Newcastle end up doing? Desperately chucking money around for inflated prices to replace him. So I don't think there are bargains to be had at the start of the window. At the end of the window. I think you've got more chance of doing a bargain at the start of the window. So I have heard a few people saying maybe United are waiting to do deals later in the window. Maybe we are, but it can't be because we think we're going to get bargains. It won't work. What do you think about Anthony Robinson, says Dasha? I mean, I like Anthony Robinson. I think he's better than Luke Shaw. Whether United would be willing to go and buy another player in their late 20s is interesting, but I do like him. Is Vlahovic coming, says Cannon? I've not heard anything about Vlahovic for a while. I think there was a really shit story about Vlahovic, actually, that I saw this morning. But the enduring issue with Vlahovic is that he is on a huge, well, was on a huge wage. So I think he was on north of 300 grand a week at Juventus, or around 300 grand a week. United would not want to give their backup striker any more than 125 grand a week. So you're asking him to take a 70% pay cut as a free agent. He wouldn't need to be in love with Man United to do that. He'd have to have a fetish. You know, he'd have to be... Remember that reaction video I did on my channel about the guy who was in love with his car, and he used to lie underneath it and snog the exhaust pipe and go to bed with it? Weird. I used to like those Goldbridge reacts. So for Vlahovic to take a, you know, 70% pay cut to sign for Manchester United, he would need to have a Man United fetish. Like, he'd need to be, you know, knocking one out to the last season highlights, which is a terrible, terrifying thought. He'd have to be that obsessed with Man United. Pictures of Luke Chadwick on his wall and stuff like that, you know? So no, I don't think Vlahovic can happen, because I think it's just too expensive for us. I want to bring this in. So look, I was up early this morning, not for any reason. I didn't shit the bed or anything like that. I was just up early this morning, and I was doing a bit of work, and I was thinking about the show we did last night, and I thought, you know what? I just want to put a tweet out for prosperity. It's on at Mark Goldbridge. You can retweet it. You can put a comment in if you like. It's had nearly 500,000 interactions already, which for an early morning tweet is quite strange. This is what I said, and I put it to you, the United Stan community. Get your comments in. The uncomfortable truth about Manchester United. We finished third off the back of Bruno Magic, Casemiro carrying the midfield, sitting deep and counter-attacking, and zero midweek fixture congestion. Look at the squad today. Can anyone honestly say we're in a strong position to compete next season? And it's generated a hell of a lot of replies, some agreeing, some not agreeing. But somebody said, irrelevant, I'm not even going to think about this till August the 31st. Absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. There is still 4 or 5 weeks left in the window. Absolutely fine. But that statement was made today. If we go and buy 2 world-class players tomorrow, that statement changes. But as of today, I think there is an uncomfortable truth. I think Casemiro is a huge part of our success, and he's not here anymore. I think Bruno broke records to get us into third place. I think playing one game a week really helped us. And I think Carrick played basic football, which hurt a lot of tired teams. Next season, do you think those things are going to happen again? And I've seen this a few times as well. We should always print it on a T-shirt. Is it okay to be negative now? Because I actually think there is an awakening in the fan base that it's not negativity to call these things out. It's reality. You can still be optimistic, but it's not negative to call out truth, is it? There is an uncomfortable truth. And the most bland truth is, are we in a better position than we were at the end of last season? I don't think we are. You could say we're in a worse position, but I don't think we're in a better position. Did we need to be in a better position than the end of last season? Absolutely, yes. I don't remember anybody at the end of last season saying we don't need to do much. We don't need to sell anyone. We don't need to buy anyone. This team's good enough. Like, there was a general feeling in this fan base that what we achieved last season under Carrick was slightly miraculous, really. There certainly wasn't a feeling that this team was going to go on and build next season and win the league. The feeling was, we've somehow got Champions League football. In a sense, we've got away with it. We now need to go and really back this coach. And that's not what's happened. What we're basically doing is trying again with the team that we've got. apart from Tielemans and Santos as a replacement for Casemiro. It's the same team being asked to do the same thing again. So there is an uncomfortable truth there, of course. But look, I wanted to read a couple of the replies out before I start reading yours, some of the replies to the actual tweet I put out, because Alex, who used to be on the United Stand years ago, he says, Casemiro's legs have gone completely. Our midfield is already better. Why wouldn't we rely on Bruno again? It's like saying City relied on Haaland, Liverpool on Salah, or Arsenal on corners. But it totally and utterly ignores the fact that we were playing one game a week, playing counter-attacking football as well. And also, we can rely on Bruno, but Bruno's numbers were record-breaking. Are you expecting him to do that again? Also, Zazima said that we are in a better position than we were last season. We got a couple of midfielders who can allow Bruno to move forward. We have a number that can stand in case Bruno's performances curve decline a bit. The thing is, we have options, something we lacked last season. I disagree with this one, by the way. I don't think we have taken a team from last season and added options. I think that we have replaced Casemiro with Santos, which is one player. If Santos flops or gets injured, we have nobody that can do that role. And Tielemans is there to compete with Mainoo. I don't think we've got options. I think we're very slim in the midfield, actually. Abdullah says, as usual, our fans think we've signed top players when the reality is we're somewhere between third and sixth. Even Spurs beat us Fernandez, a player who could have become a future superstar. I don't mean to be harsh, but we're no longer the giants we once were. And Revolutionizer says, you're actually asking why a team that finished with the best record in the league during Carrick's second half of the season isn't in a strong position to compete next year. Make it make sense. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not going to rip that person apart, but yeah, tell me you didn't read the tweet by telling me you didn't read the tweet. So basically what you've done is you've taken stats and third place and used that as a reason for us to be able to kick on next season without actually using your eyes, have you? Let me get into some of your comments anyway. Lee Berman says, I have a horrible feeling they're signing youngsters in hope they become the next superstar to be the face of the new stadium, says Lee. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely an obsession with youth. I mean, what I will say is that JJ is out of contract in the summer and ready to sign his first professional contract. If you're not aware of how this works, it's quite terrifying, really. When a 16-year-old signs their first proper professional contract, they are under no obligation to the club that they're at. So basically, we could play JJ every game of the season. He could be the world's best player. We could have an amazing player on our hands. And he can just sign for Barcelona or PSG and there's nothing we can do about it. So that next season is going to be a thing. Look, he could have left Man United a year ago. He's still at Man United. Hopefully, he has a massive passion for the football club and wants to stay here for many years to come. But we've got a huge job on our hands to keep a player that's, you know, being discussed as being a generational talent. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous for us next summer because he can just sign for anybody. So we've got to, you know, you're right. I think United are looking at young players and developing superstars, but we've got a potential superstar there that we do need to, you know, keep an eye on. Cunha is on 180 grand a week, says Joe. I don't think he's even on that. I might be wrong, but I don't think he is. I've just cut my fucking finger on my nail. What bloody Freddy Krueger toenails. What annoys me the most about only 6 million for Amaz is what does that do for us? 6 million would get Derby 2 or 3 players for us. It wouldn't even cover a loan fee, says Reno. Yeah, but 6 million to penny pinchers is a lot of money, isn't it? But look, mate, they're mercenaries. They're not a football club. You're thinking like a football fan. They're mercenaries. They'll see it as six. They'll see it as 600, as 6 million. Sean Dyche may get his wish this season. Oh, Stretford Signal. I saw this. So Sean Dyche's dream job is the Man United job. I mean, that's like me saying my dream job is to be the lead character in the next Scorsese film. I mean, Sean Dyche ain't never getting the Man United job. User 66 says this transfer window has been so dead that it feels like one of those long international breaks. You know what? I mean, this is interesting, right? I think I think, and it makes no impact on us because, you know, we're not journalists. We're a community that talk about Man United. I mean, we did two shows a day in COVID. I don't know how we fucking did it. So we'll always find something to discuss. So it doesn't really impact us. But you can observe the lay of the land around you. And I do think you're right. I think United are doing it on purpose. I have a theory that, you know, even 2 years ago, regardless of whether we were signing players or not, the transfer window was more vibrant. Certainly 10 years ago, certainly 5 years ago, potentially even last summer, although I'm not so sure. United seem to have this tactic of doing nothing. Literally trying to make us a boring football club. Literally trying to put out fires. Because I think the theory is, the more people talk about Man United, the more exposed the board is. The less people talk about Man United, the less people talk about the board. I feel that that's a tactic. I feel that's why they're trying to starve their journalists of information. Because the less information they get, the less they can write. The less they write, the less people talk about Man United, the less people focus on Man United. Because I think you're absolutely right. I do think for what was meant to be such a big summer transfer window, it has been flatter than a worm's tit. It really has. There is so little buzz. Even the new kits don't get massive hype. And I think what they've done is they've gone, we know we're going to make the money anyway because the same amount of people will buy the kit. The same amount of people will pay for MUTV. The same amount of people are going to buy their season tickets. So let's just kill any news so people don't talk about us. Could players like Kone and Tchouaméni have rejected United or are reluctant to join due to inconsistent Premier League Champions League presence and unconvincing Carrick project, says Himanshu? Well, I don't know about Tchouaméni because he wants to stay at Real Madrid, but Kone wants to sign for Man United. So on that sense, I don't think it's a problem at all. Hello, Mark. Good morning. Hope you're doing well. Still don't understand many people in our fan base were happy we did not get Qatar as our owners, says Giller. Well, I think a lot of people didn't want Qatar to get it because of human rights issues or, you know, sports washing or whatever you want to call it. But the hypocrisy in that, if you actually live in the UK, is hilarious. And it was a stupid reason to want Sir Jim Radcliffe. Ultimately, people should have put football first. And I always said, remember right in the middle of all the Glazer selling United, it was around April time, and a story came out about a US investment fund. Was it the Elliott Group or something like that? Wanted to keep the... It was the first time we heard that somebody was willing to invest and keep the Glazers in place. And I said at that point, the most important thing is, as part of this process, is that the Glazers fuck off. And I remember doing a video and I said, I don't care whether it's Elon Musk or the Class of 92 or an investment fund from America, anybody who gets in bed with the Glazers and lets them stay is an enemy of the club. I remember saying it as clear as day. And it's not something I want to bury. I said it and I meant it and I still mean it. Unfortunately, Sir Jim Radcliffe became the person that kept the Glazers in power and got into bed with them. But I think ultimately we had an opportunity to remove the Glazers. And I think anybody that was going to do that should have been backed by the fan base. But they weren't. Some people actually championed a saviour for the Glazers. And it doesn't matter whether it's Sir Jim Radcliffe, the local lad, or it's an American faceless investment fund. Whoever came in and saved the Glazers and got into bed with the Glazers was always going to be an enemy of the club in my mind. And that's what Sir Jim Radcliffe is. He saved the Glazers at a point where they needed to sell. If everybody had said, we're not going to put the money in and save you, they would have had to sell. And it was a missed opportunity. And Sir Jim Radcliffe and Ineos were so desperate to get their feet under the table at United, they provided the escape route for the Glazers. If he'd have said, I'm not doing that, we would have probably ended up in a position where we were owned by Qatar or we were owned by Sir Jim Radcliffe. But to get ahead of Qatar, he agreed to do a deal with the Glazers. And he never should have done it. He never should have done it. I'm not saying we'd be in a worse situation or a better situation, but at least we'd be owned by somebody new. We're still owned by the Glazers. People forget this. All anybody ever talks about is Berarda, Wilcox, Sir Jim Radcliffe, Ineos. We're still majority owned by the Glazers. We're still a Glazer football club. What's your opinion on Quavers, says Peak. I haven't eaten Quavers in ages, but I used to like the prawn cocktail Quavers more than the cheese. Like I used to prefer the spicy tomato Watsits to the cheese. Why aren't we going for the likes of Stiller and Mecha, Enzo Fernandez or Camavinga, all who seemingly aren't linked to any clubs and are available, says Ivor. Well, the easy answer to that is I'd probably sign any of those four players, maybe not Camavinga, but I'd certainly sign Stiller and Mecha or Enzo Fernandez. But the reason we're not going for them is either the board aren't unilaterally in agreement, Stiller, or they're too expensive. Matured by Accident says, price to get you on the podcast. Depends what the podcast is. Is it called Matured by Accident, by any chance? It is. I haven't been, honest answer is, it's not about the money. It's about the time. Mantan says, I feel like that United consider Cunha as a striker as well. Could do. You know, Yoro could be seen as a right back. Rashford's the left winger. Mazraoui can play at left back. Cunha can play up front. Maybe we don't buy a left back. Maybe we don't buy a winger. Maybe we don't buy a right back. Maybe we don't buy a striker. Do you find it concerning Carrick's lack of faith in the youth, even in pre-season? Glinios no signings, making us reliant on trusted youth, says Drayson. I think Carrick will use JJ. He obviously likes using the Fletchers. I think it's Mbeumo on 150k a week, says JMR. You're calling the chat a liar, yet Cunha is on 200k a week. He's not on 200k a week. He's not on 200 grand a week. Definitely 100% not on 200 grand a week. So I am calling you a liar, yeah. Besides the fact that Tchouaméni wages and fee over their budget, we will take the rest of the window to sign him. So spin to delay and no more transfers, says Bookie. United do like that. United do like being linked to a player for weeks and then it doesn't happen, but you get rid of the time. New stadium and we're broke. PR started this summer, says Stretford Signal. Get ready for Man United to say that Tchouaméni turned out to be too expensive, says Detox. I mean, this is another tactic of United. Link yourself to a player you know you can't afford. Matheus Fernandes, Tonali, Elliot Anderson, Wharton, Lewis Hall, Tchouaméni. You know, it seems to be the new tactic of United these days is, you know, get all the hype of being linked to a player, but then don't buy them because you can't afford them. Which ultimately is just a shit way to treat your fans. Could it be possible for it to be Camavinga? Real Madrid are going to dictate who leaves. Would you take Camavinga? Patrick, I said this last week when I was on my holiday. I think it's more likely to be Camavinga than it's likely to be a Tchouaméni, because if you sign Rodri, Real Madrid play a lot of games. Rodri won't be able to play every single minute of every single game. Could get injured. You'd need Tchouaméni. But they don't want Camavinga. So this is what I mean. Get ready for all the Tchouaméni hype. I don't even think he's the player they want to sell. Hi, Mark. With Welbeck going to Chelsea, would you take Delap? Levi, if we sign Delap, I think the protests will start. Absolute no way. He's not even good enough to play for a top six club. He needs to go and play for someone like Coventry. And I'm not taking the piss out of Coventry. I'll go back to Ipswich on loan. Like, he needs a season playing at a lower level with less pressure. Elliot says, what happened to us being relentless in the transfer market? We're now waiting around for possibilities rather than pursuing a proactive approach. Look, I saw a brilliant comment last night. It was in the live chat. I just forgot to cover it. When you think about it, we've done nothing for 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks since we did anything. Done nothing in 2 weeks. Every time we go on tour or every time we start pre-season, we do nothing. We always do something in the first 10 to 15 days of July, and then we do fuck all for the rest of July. And lo and it's a sad recurring fact that United rarely do anything in the last 2 weeks of July. And lo and behold, we've done nothing again. And I don't know why, because it doesn't take long to pick up the phone and say, hello, Roma, let's start talking about a fee for Kone. Hello, Newcastle, is Lewis Holtby? It doesn't. But we're doing nothing. We're doing nothing at the moment. We're not even talking to Rashford because he's on fucking holiday. Ineos are actually making me miss Ed Woodward, says Lico. And 2 a.m. here in San Diego, California, and I'm currently up with my one-day-old son, Beckham, while the missus gets some sleep. Thanks for the show. Love that, Justin. Shout out for wherever you are watching, and congratulations. Let us know where you're watching from, everybody. Sorry, I've got a couple more comments here. Cantona's collar says you're salty because you're buggered to fill 3 shows a day. Mate, we could do 6 shows a day if I wanted to. I don't even do one topic focused content like some people do. We do 3 videos a day where we talk about multiple topics. A lot of people just do 10 minute videos on one. I could have done 6 videos on what I've spoken to you about today. We'll never struggle for content. 2 shows a day in COVID when nothing else was happening. I could do a video and have done a video where I call it Goldbridge Makes a Cup of Tea and it'd get 120k views, mate, in a day. So I really do not need to panic about doing content. It's very, very easy. If you're good at content, you can do anything. And that's why we're the biggest and best community over 10 years, because when COVID hit and there was nothing to talk about, we were still doing 2 shows a day with this amazing community. So yeah, not concerned at all, mate. In fact, just for you, I might do a video later about something completely boring and still get 100k views just to piss you off. Finishing second in the 17-18 Mourinho season asked for major reinforcements. Instead, United signed Fred and Dalot and Grant. Mourinho was sacked by December and United finished 6th. Feels the same to me. Well, there's a bit of an echo, Bredders, but yeah, I completely agree. I said this last night. It does feel a little bit like that. Caravan says, you heard it here first. Hall and Watkins to United this summer. Please remember this super chat. Yeah, but is that a guess? I will remember it, Caravan. But is that a guess or is that inside information? On Xerxes, we might get 20 million this summer or 25 next summer after a good season in Serie A. Balance sheet, FC is loving it, says Hatless Lemming. Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, if we can loan out Xerxes and he has a good season, we will get more money for it. The bottom line is, why can't we sell him after 2 years? Because we failed. The bottom line is, if he goes up in value, it'll be because of another club. Look at Vitek. We haven't developed Vitek. Bristol City have. We're shit at developing players. We're very good at ruining players. We're shit at developing players. We need a left back, but wouldn't Dorgu play left back at PSG in a PSG system? Why not at United? I don't agree. You still need to be able to defend in a PSG system. Like, look at when they played Bayern in the second leg. You have to be able to defend. I'm not sure Dorgu works in a back four. He's still young enough, but I'm not sure he does. I believe we are where Arsenal were when moving to the Emirates. I only see qualifying for the Champions League as the main priority. Yeah, well, Captain, people don't want to hear this. After 14 years without being in a Premier League title race, people don't want to hear that for the next decade, we're just going to be treading water trying to get Champions League football to fund a stadium. People don't want to hear that it's going to be 25 years without a title. But you might be onto something. Because United can never admit that. Berada said we might win the league next year or this year. But in reality, there is evidence that when you want to build a stadium, you can't spend on your team. So how long is it going to take to build this stadium? 5 years. Then you've got to still pay for it afterwards. Could be 10 years before we're capable of spending big money again, which means we won't win a title for 25 years, at least. This is a big problem with some fans because we eked out third and Bruno had to break records. Folks think we good, but this summer we need a big window. So how are we going to stay third if we don't get that, says Ray. Thank you very much for that. Okay, do you think United stop leaking like a sieve so channels like this stop milking the clubs, as you could use a 66? Mate, as I said before, I don't know. You put a couple of comments in. I think you're trying to be quite clever, and I thought your first comment was decent. I'm now starting to think you're a little bit of a rage baiter. Mate, if you don't want to watch the show, don't watch it. If you think I'm panicking about views on the United stand, well, I'd say give it 2 weeks and then see. Come back and give me your thoughts. But if this has been a quiet summer, it's not been a quiet summer for the United stand. Go and do your own research. Look at how many views we get on every video. I'm not worried about it at all. If you're worried about it, fine. If you don't want to watch the channel, that's absolutely fine. We've had an incredible summer transfer window. We just can't reveal a lot of what we're doing yet. And for me, I don't think United are being quiet in the market to try and shut down journalists and fan content creators. Because actually, you could literally rant about them every day and say they're fucking shit. Could do Goldbridge rant every day and rip the shit out of them. So no, I don't. I don't think they're doing that. I think they're trying to control the conversation. Let no news, maybe people don't talk about the club, but I think with this fan base, this transfer window is starting to hurt them. It's starting to hurt the club because people are now, you know, I think a month ago, if you moaned about the window, you probably did get called negative. I think if you're positive about the window now, you get called a moron. So I think it's flipped, hasn't it? It's not just the fact that Bruno, Casemiro, less games carried our season, but also many of our direct rivals had a poor season. No chance that happens again by the look of it. Genuinely scared for us, says Music for everyone out there. Yeah, I mean, look, that's the similarity with the Mourinho season, isn't it? We finished second. We needed to strengthen. We didn't strengthen. So if everybody else strengthens and we don't, how do you even hold on to third, let alone go for second or first? It becomes very, very difficult. But there is still time left in the window, but that harsh truth for me is there. I'm just looking at this tweet from Martian Ball. He says, proof that nepotism exists even at the biggest clubs in the world. Fletcher brothers are nowhere near the level of Lacey and JJ, especially Jack. Him not being sent out on loan is absolutely ridiculous, but we all know why it's happening. I mean, I don't know whether I'd go that far on that, but I'm yet to see what the Fletchers are all about. Mateta or Watkins? I'd rather have Mateta, says Quinster. I'd be happy with either of them, really. I think that type of the striker who's Premier League proven would be, you know, very, very, very good. Okay, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in this morning. Fantastic show, as always. Lots of good opinions. And look, like every other day, we hope that United will actually start doing something, but we probably know they won't. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. I'm back with you on the 8 o'clock show tonight. Take care, stay safe. There is a video just gone up on That's Football as well. Which is worth a watch. I'll speak to you all in a bit.